The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out of bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just did a drive-by and she had one rolled up and she yelled, strawberry cough hybrid, fem lips, and then tore off down the street in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, they're ready to drive in some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do be. All my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be, shake out, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High tonight. And right now, 2-1 and 1 out, Tatis up, down 4 runs to the Cardinals, 6-2. Redbirds, it's in the bottom of the sixth. St. Louis jumped out to the 4-0 lead. Your boy Wong Chung, remember that band? With a two-run shot into the seats and right that made it 4-0. And the Padres have been trying to claw their way back into this. Earlier in the game, they had the bases loaded, and Grisham and Tatis struck out with the bases full, and that didn't happen. They didn't get anything across. They eventually got 2 runs across in that inning, but not anymore. They could have, taken the lead. At that point, it was 4-2, and then the Cardinals added 2 more, so it's 6-2, St. Louis. Tatis up, 2-2 count, 1 out, 2 on, and the Dodgers and Brewers are going to start up here in a second at Chavez Ravine, and the Broncos lead heading to the third, 17-13 over the Jets.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, We bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Tatis ripped one off of the ground into the seats and left. He golfed it out, basically a line drive shot to the short porch and left, headed toward the metal building in Petco. And it's 6-5, a three-run shot. So now we got a game, Carver High, and just when we thought Tatis had left, you know, 30 ducks sitting on lily pads, he had left the bases. I mean, every time he was up, he failed with guys on. And then all of a sudden, he gets a hold of one and drives it out, really kind of a line drive, little flyer over the wall. And now it's a one-run game. If they lose, they're finished.
Yeah, he had left a small village on the base paths all night. He was
there's
up
a
with
drive.
The one
that Machado ties it.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
how about
the humanity.
That?
The humanity.
How about
oh,
that?
The humanity of it all. The Cardinals have melted down. Oh, Father.
How about that?
Machado getting involved. He's done nothing either in the series until now with a shot to deep left field to tie the game. Manny Money Machado follows Tatis's home run with one of his own. How about that?
And they finally come through, Scotty, because really, the first five innings of this game, they all had opportunities. Tatis, Machado, Grisham, a whole, you know, they had several chances to get this thing going. And now, finally, they break through. Now the question is, Scotty, now that they've broken through and they've come back from down 6-2, are they going to win this game now and give us a game three tomorrow night?
Yeah, because that would be ideal. Now, he was yelling, feed me, going down first base. He stood and admired that home run for about 10 seconds and then went down the line and said, feed me, to his dugout. And Tatis and Manny Machado come through big time when they needed it most. Down 6-2 in the sixth inning, they score four runs, three on the Tatis, and then the solo shot by Machado. And now we got a really good game. You thought you had a game a minute ago. Now you got a really good game. It's tied up.
Love to see it. Outstanding stuff. Because I don't want these. We haven't gotten enough, you know, three games in these things. Everybody's sweeping. We had the A's and the White Sox, of course, today with a game three. But look at all these other series. Yankees sweep. Rays sweep. Astros sweep. The Braves this afternoon sweep. So we need some baseball games here tomorrow. Now, we're going to get that Cub-Marlin game, but maybe now we'll get a second game with a game three between the Pods and the Cards, because I think the Dodgers will probably finish the Brewers tonight too, right?
Well, you would think. Now, that game's underway scoreless in the first. So if, let's just say hypothetically, they win the game San Diego and force Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, winner take all game three. And you know the Cardinals' history in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. History against the Padres. I don't care who it is. Another drive off the wall. I mean, you got to be kidding me. They almost hit a third home run. That one hit off the top of the wall. I mean, what is happening here? So anyway, if they were to win tonight, Pham hit that one, the former Cardinal. Didn't he used to play for the Cardinals? I think he did. So
he went from the Cardinals to the Rays, and now he's with the Padres.
All right, so if they play tomorrow, let's say just hypothetically, if San Diego were to win tonight, who would you take on Friday? Are you going to take history? Are you going to take championships, rings, banners? Are you going to take success? They never lose. Or are you going to take the upstart Padres in a winner-take-all game?
I believe that Flaherty is going to pitch for the Cardinals, and if that's the case, I'm going to go with him. So I'm going to go with Flaherty if that's the situation.
Because the Padres don't have anybody to pitch.
They're going to be throwing a lot of hacks out there tomorrow, and they've been using all their guys tonight. Think about tonight. I mean, Davies gave them nothing. They've used everybody in the pen here tonight.
Davies got lit up like a bong.
It was a bad scene for him.
He got lit up. They knew every pitch that was coming. They were like the Astros in 2017. You got to admit, they knew his stuff. Like his changeup was, he was leaving it up waist high, and they were jacking it all over the place. Wong hit one out. Carpenter hit a double. I mean, they were all Molina. Everybody was jumping on him. But they finally got to the Cardinals pitching here. And now they've changed pitchers for Tatis, right? They changed for this guy, Gallegos. And then he's the one that gave it up, right? They haven't changed it since then. So it was a, well, I guess Cabrera was pitching that he was in, and it was when it was 6-2. Then they brought in Gallegos, and I'm guessing, did he give up? He gave up the Tatis and the Machado home runs, and then the fam double. And now he's facing Jurickson Profar. You got a runner at second. You get a single. You take the lead. Two outs, though. So, and that was huge. Back-to-back homers to tie the game. Four runs faster than you can spit. Right? So they're going to the bottom of the first at Chavez Ravine. No score. Dodgers and Brew Crew. I just keep watching this Profar to see what he does. This is a huge runner at second. They're going to leave. Struck him out with high cheese. What happened?
Darnold threw a pass about 40, 50 yards downfield to the Bronco 10 or 15. I saw a flag get thrown. Now, I don't have the volume on, obviously. Hands were going both ways. Good play by the defender on Denver.
But they gave him a pass interference?
Yep, they sure did. Jets have the ball at the 20.
Yeah, I see that now. Okay, so I'm watching this play. You got to be kidding me. That's great defense. That's just an awful call. That was so bad. That was great defense.
These refs,
what more
can
you do as a corner? What more can you do perfectly as a defender than what he just did on that pass?
Absolutely.
That was a terrible call.
Pigs.
I mean, that was so terrible. I can't even believe I'm going to turn the game off. I'm not even going to watch. There you go. That was so bad. I'd rather watch a commercial for the scratch-off games. I'd rather watch anything but to watch those fat, worthless refs screw up another game. I mean it. That was bad. That was a bad call. And I have no bones in this. But that was terrible. I saw the pass. The guy had perfect coverage. He even batted the ball away. Are you kidding me? You can't even argue that. And they don't review pass interference anymore. They just call it. Oh my God, that was so awful. I can't even believe it. Now I'm trying to settle into this Dodger game. There's a lot happening here tonight. We got Joe Lisi coming up later to talk college football. We'll get into all the games on Friday and Saturday. There's a bunch of games. I think there's actually a good game on, did they cancel that BYU Louisiana Tech game, which was the game. No. It was the Louisiana game that got canceled. So the BYU game is still on. I think the Louisiana game was called off. So we'll get into all the college football games later tonight with Joe Lees. And we got our eyes on this great Padre-Cardinal game.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. So six all cards, Padres, and now they're in the seventh, and the Cardinals have one out, but a runner on second. Yachty's up, Molina, and they're all tied up. Brewers, Dodgers, scoreless. The refs made a terrible call in the Jets game on a bomb. They called a just atrocious pass interference call. And in honor of that, ball don't lie, they got a field goal out of it. They were at the 20, first and 10, and they couldn't do jack. So they ended up getting three, and I think it's 17-16 now with the Broncos up one. So early in the third, refs handing the game to the Jets, and they still are trailing. So Molina's one for three in the game, and there's a big runner at second with one out. Go ahead, run. There's not that many more outs. So, I mean, when you think about it, the Padres have nine outs to win this game and, you know, play to run or do something. They've already come back from down four to tie it with the Tatis and Machado home runs. So, just so we're clear, today I was watching these games. First of all, the Cubs game with the Marlins was basically rained out in Chicago, so they're going to play tomorrow. They knew the weather was going to be bad, so they moved it to Friday. And then all we got today was the Braves and then the A's White Sox, so the Braves Reds. So the Braves eliminated the Reds, and I think they beat them 5-0. And Anderson pitched great. And, I mean, Ozuna hit a big home run. It was 1-0. And late in the game, they tacked on all the other runs. And Ozuna hit a two-run homer and was taking selfies of himself running down to first base. And they added more. They tacked on a couple more. And they won the game 5-0 and eliminated the Reds. The Reds did not score a run in either game. In fact, they have played them back in the mid-90s. In the same two teams. And in that stretch of three games, whatever it is, the last three times they played, they didn't score. Or I think the scoreless streak was like 31 innings that they held the Reds scoreless going back to the last time they met in a playoff series. So in this series, let's just catch up in real time. In this series, on Wednesday and Thursday, the Reds never scored a run. They had great pitching, but 22 innings here because the game went extra innings, right? And they still didn't score any runs, no runs. A lot of people thought that they were going to go to the World Series, the Reds, that they were the team that was going to shock everybody, that they were going to surprise everybody. I never believed that for a second.
Not with that lineup.
We had people on our show telling us the Reds were going to go.
We did have people tell us that, but I think you saw over the last 2 days that their lineup is not championship caliber. Let's just say it that way, okay? Because Votto is obviously kind of on the downside of his career. We know that. Moustakas is a good hitter, a power hitter, but man, I mean, it's either a strikeout or a homer for him, and let's just face it, he didn't hit any homers in this series. Suarez is a good hitter. They got, like, hacks. The rest of that lineup is a lot of gimps, so, I mean, what can you do?
I got to say that Padres got out of the inning 6-6, so I just think they have no one that can hit. I don't know, you were going through a couple guys that could hit, and I saw no one that could hit, and I know this, that their pitching's phenomenal. I think top to bottom, man, do they have some pitching. I mean, beyond Bauer, beyond Castillo, beyond Gray. That is Iglesias guy, the reliever. I thought he looked like Chapman out there throwing 100 miles an hour. I thought Sims, whatever his name was, I thought that guy was pitching great. So there were a lot of guys that were pitching really well for him, and they held the Braves in check, but, you know, 1-0, and then it was 5-0. But the game today was really 1-0, right, until late. When the game was, you know, when Ozuna hit the home run, made it 3-0, the game was over. But I thought, for the most part, the Reds pitching kept them in it, for sure. But they're going home. And then, you know, everyone thought they were going to be the magical upset special sleeper team, Cinderella story, all this other nonsense. And now they're packing their bags. So they're done. They're going golfing, fishing, quarantining, whatever you do. And now you had the A's and White Sox. Now, oh, by the way, I hit the Braves. And so you had the A's and White Sox, and I bet on the A's today. And I can't even believe that I had the stones to bet on the A's because they're pikers too. They had not won a elimination game since 1976. That's how bad it was. No one wants to talk about it, but they never win elimination games. In fact, they never win playoff series, ever. Bob Melvin has done a great job in Oakland winning games that don't matter, right? I mean, in essence, that's exactly what it is. And then he finally got him today to push through, and they were losing that game 3-0. And, you know, Robert hit a bomb, 500-foot bomb to left. It was 3-0 White Sox. And I got to tell you, I thought Renteria really freaked out with his pitching, Carver High, today. For me, I just can't have a guy, I got to tell you, just messing around with that game so much that I think he did it to himself. I think he lost the game. He changed pitchers. He used every single pitcher basically on the team. And not truthfully, but in essence, he had used almost every guy. And he certainly used all of his relievers. He didn't go to Keuchel and a couple guys that are starters. But the facts remain that he changed pitchers so many times. He changed in one inning, three times in one inning. And, I mean, he had used 6 or 7 pitchers. Did you not think that guy, like, forked that game over to the A's, like, with all of his managing? He just overmanaged.
Yeah, I think that he got a little too out of control, and he probably cost his team the game because I get it. You know, it's an elimination game. If you don't think that a guy has it, you don't want to stick with him that long. But, I mean, Dunning starts the game. He throws 15 pitches. He puts 2 guys on base. And that's it. Like, that's it. He didn't let the guy go any further than that. He brings in Croquet, who actually was pitching really well until he got hurt. So we got, unfortunately for him, the guy who probably looked the best ends up getting hurt in the second inning. And then just the carousel just goes around and around and around. And, like, I mean, Bummer and Rodon and Foster and Cordero. I mean, he just kept bringing in, like, guy after guy.
He used nine pitchers,
which I believe tied the record for most in a playoff game.
Come on. He used Dunning, Crochet, Bummer, Hewer, Rodon, Foster, Marshall, Cordero, and Colom.
You're right, though. There's being careful and wanting to, you know, try to find the right guy that can get you a decent amount of work, but he was just too trigger out. He just kept going to the bullpen, the slightest bit of trouble, he was taking a guy out, and I think he seriously overmanaged the situation and probably put his team in a bad spot.
Melvin almost did the same thing. He used 8. There were 17 pitchers used in the game. There's a drive, home run, Myers into the corner inside a foul pole. Will Myers has given the Padres the lead after trailing 4-0. They now lead 7-6 in this bottom of the seventh. A shot to the corner and left. And that was just stroke down the line, curving inside the foul pole. And San Diego has the lead at Petco. They're rocking in San Diego, down in the gas light. Everybody drinking and thinking and yelling and screaming and spitting and laughing and hurling and talking and shot of beer and banana shot of beer puke. Will Myers with no batting gloves. He means business. But the A's used 8 pitchers as well. But I think at the end of the line, they got Soria at bottom line, Trevino, Diekman, Soria, and Hendricks. Basically, he used them to hold it down, and, you know, they were up, right? So hold it down and let Hendricks close it out, and he did that. And he, I think he struck out the side in the ninth.
Yeah, and that's where there was an advantage for Oakland over Chicago, because if they wanted to empty the bullpen on both sides, when it comes down to it, at the end of the game, Oakland had the better arms in the bullpen than Chicago did. Because when you can go to Soria and you can go to Hendricks, you can go to guys that can get outs, and Diekman, that it's just a different area. Touchdown Broncos, by the way. They go in. So if they get the extra point, it'll be 24-16.
Okay, so what happened on that touchdown?
The kid Rippon actually with a nice throw. Nice throw by Rippon.
Nice throw to the back of the end zone. And did you see earlier in the game? That is a nice little strike right there. It's raining. Is that rain out there at MetLife?
You can't tell possible. Me
that's, like, I think it is. I thought it was like, was it not? It is raining. It's raining at MetLife. It must be raining here too. Because it was like beautiful before. I don't even understand where that rain came from. But anyway, he threw one to Jerry Judy. Did you see Judy steal that ball away from
that one? That one he threw up as a prayer, and Judy made a great play. Griffin got lucky on that one that Judy was
he
so good.
He picked that guy's pocket, and he just schooled him. He jumped up and stole the ball out of the air, and the defender should have had it. The corner should have had it. That same guy picked off a pass later, though, for the Jets. That's a beautiful play right there. But you know what's crazy about this game? It's 24-16 Broncos, but that lead's not safe either. Because Darnold's just not going away. We got it all going here tonight on a bench. I throw on a bench. When you saw the A's today, lifeless, like they were hanging their heads. They were having at bats where when they were, you know, striking out and stuff, like Olson was just K-ing left and right with runners on. And he's one of their best hitters. Meanwhile, he couldn't hit the broadside of the barn. He ended up driving in a run late in the game, but early in the game, he couldn't do anything, right? And they kept talking about, they got to get Olson going. And you saw them all hanging their heads and moping around. And then in the dugout, they looked like they were at a funeral. Were you, Carver High, surprised that they were able to crawl out from the crypt and Murphy hit the home run to get them going? They got a lead of 4-3. They blew that. It was 4-4. And eventually they scored 2 runs and won the game 6-4. So were you surprised that they, with their history of utter failure and choking in elimination games, in playoff series, in postseason play, and their history of failure and ineptitude, were you surprised? Because when I saw them moping today, I was like, I was watching the game. Weren't we on the air? I was like, they look like they're giving up already. Like they look dead, like dead to rights.
Yeah, you were saying it while we were on, and they did look finished in that fourth inning when they were down 3-0, and they had had a couple opportunities before that, even with the White Sox, the revolving door of the relief pitchers that they were bringing in. And then eventually all it takes sometimes is one shot, you know, and Murphy gave you that shot, and it was a bomb that he hit too. And that gave them the juice, and you saw the, you know, the expressions changed in that dugout. It went from moping to we're back in the mix here, let's go. And then they tie the game up in that same inning. Like you said, they eventually take the lead, they give it back. But they had a lot of juice. That Murphy home run really changed the game at 3-0 in the fourth inning.
Murphy homered a lap, 424 feet. It made it 3-2. And then Canna tied it up. I guess they walked in. They walked in the third and fourth run. So they went up 4-3 when Olson walked. Canna walked back-to-back. It was Canna first, then Olson. It's 4-3 A's. And then Mazzara hit an RBI single in the top of the fifth to tie it up. He had earlier in the game, believe it or not, he had doubled to deep left center and scored Robert. That made it 3-0. So Mazzara had a really good game for the White Sox. But then in the bottom of the fifth, Pinder's single scores LaStella, Coldbeer, and Murphy. Murphy had the big game, scored the run, hit the home run. He's the ninth batter in the lineup. They couldn't get anybody hitting. So they got their ninth batter started, you know, waking them up from the dead. I couldn't even believe it. First of all, I got so lucky. I got to be honest with you, because I don't typically bet on losers. I mean, perennial losers. They just lose. It's like betting on the Minnesota Twins. I'm just not doing it. And I got to tell you, I don't care if the Padres win this game. He just hit another one, Tatis. He just hit another home run. He just hit another home run. And this one is going to put it out of reach now. They're up. It's a two-run shot, and it's 9-6. A two-out, two-run homer from Tatis, his second of the game, his second in a row. He had hit a three-run homer earlier, now a two-run home run. He's got five RBIs on the night, and this hot shot, Fernando Tatis, is absolutely going rocks off. Rocks off, son. Tatis putting on a clinic here, a show, showing the world who he is. This guy is an absolute freak of nature, badass. He is lighting it up, and he did it opposite field. He went to the right field bleachers this time. He's so cool, he won't even react in the dugout. He won't even talk to anyone. He won't even look at the camera. He's so cool.
He gave the big bat toss, too, after he hit it also. Gave the big bat toss.
Did he have a little bit of a bat toss? Yeah. I see if Machado hits one now.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got to tell you, and off the Explorer, Ponce de Leon.
And you could clearly tell that he was frustrated by what happened earlier in the game when he left all those guys on base in his first two or three at-bats. And he refocuses, and now he's hit two home runs in a row. He's changed this entire game. The three-run homer changed this game. Look at that. Oh, that's a great bat flip. That is a tremendous bat flip by Tatis there.
All right, so I'm going to tell you, like, I bet on the Cardinals, right? I bet on them to win, and I thought that they would win, and they were up 4-0 in this game. They blew it. Bottom line is they blew it, and the Padres just weren't going to go home tonight, apparently, and now they'll play Friday night. It's pretty obvious.
Well, we've seen a lot of crazy stuff. There's a couple innings to go here. This is the Cardinals. Let's see if these Padres can get these outs.
Okay, so if they get them out, you've already told me you like Flaherty, and so do I. I mean, you bet against Flaherty?
I'll be rooting for them. Believe me, I want to see the Padres and the Dodgers. That's what I want. I want to see them play next round.
But you would bet on the Cardinals.
Yeah, like I have for my bet, I want the Cardinals to win because I bet the Cardinals for the series. Small, I bet them for the series to win it because I thought that they would. But I would like to see, if I'm going to lose that bet, I'd love to see the Padres and the Dodgers, just like the Yankees and the Rays. I think it would be tremendous in the next round.
And we're on in San Diego on Mightier 1090, so We want them to win. It's that simple. We want them to win. I got to tell you, that whole deal of so did you tell me, like, which series are there? The Yankees and Rays are in Petco, and what's the other one?
Yeah, the Yankees and the Rays will be at Petco. The Astros and the A's will be at Dodger Stadium. And then the ALCS, the two winners, will be at Petco also.
Which one? Which one? The other one?
The winner. The winner of those two American League series will play the championship series in Petco.
Okay.
So the Yankee winner will stay division. There. Yeah.
All right, wait.
Yeah.
So the only division playoff at Petco will be the Yankees and Rays. There's not another one.
Yes, just them.
Okay, so they're all four of them are in different locations.
Yes.
So eight teams, right?
Yep.
And then it's down to four teams.
Right. So they'll play, like we said, San Diego for the Yankees and Rays, L.A. for A's and Astros, Arlington for the Dodgers and either the Cardinals and Padres, and then Houston will be where the Braves will play the winner of the Cubs and the Marlins.
So you don't seriously think the Cubs are going to lose tomorrow with Darvish on the mound having to win any more than the Padres tonight were going to have the honor of being swept in their ballpark. Did you think that was going to happen? Like, because, you know, I really did think the Cardinals were going to finish them off, but they weren't having it. So do you think the Cubs are going to let the Marlins sweep them tomorrow?
I like Darvish tomorrow. I think Darvish wins it. I really do. And I think the Marlins get him on Saturday in game three.
I've seen Darvish melt down in big games before, though.
I wouldn't mind it, that's for sure. I got that Marlin bet. I'd love to see him finish it tomorrow, but Darvish has been good this year.
Yeah, he's been good this year. But I'm just saying, in the past, I've seen him fail in big games. You know what I mean? I mean, he has. He's never. What has he ever done that's been enormous? Am I missing something here? Because I don't remember him ever doing anything enormous. He needs to and has to win that game tomorrow. That's all there is to it. And I wish they would have played it today. I can't believe. But now that it's, you know, tomorrow. What is it? Tomorrow afternoon they're going to play that game.
Yes, 2:00 Eastern, I believe, is when the Cub Marlin game is.
All right, so I have it right here. So, yeah, 2:00. And then the Dodgers, if they lose tonight, it would be at 6:30. And if they win tonight, it's over. And then no matter what, if the Padres win tonight, you got 10:00 tomorrow night. Would they change the start time of that game, or would they keep it at 10:00?
I have a feeling that if the Dodgers won tonight and there was a game three in this, I think you'd probably see a time shift. I think they'd make it earlier. 7, 8 o'clock, something like that.
So, but then they would be playing at like 5:00 in San Diego, and they'd be playing in all those shadows and sun.
That's what they did the last 2 days. They played at 5 and 7 the last 2 days. They played at 7 tonight.
I know. You don't think they'd just want to play a normal West Coast game at 7?
They love prime. They love the prime time. They're gonna though if they got a opportunity and they are allowed to do it, I think that they would move the game down. But I'm not sure if that's locked in or not.
Pomeranz is throwing for the Padres right now.
Like, they slid this game back tonight. Like, this Padre game was supposed to be at 5:00 again. But when the Yankees when the Yankees won last night, they had an opening at 7, so they slid this game back to 7:00 Eastern.
Tatis just threw the ball away into the outfield. He made a great stop on a line drive, but he threw the ball away. And now they got runners on the corners, or at the very least, second and third, so he made it all the way to second after the error by Tatis. So, I mean, no one could question Tatis hitting two home runs and five RBIs, but he dove for this ball, made a great stop, and it hit his glove, and he missed it. He tried to make an incredible play to get the runner at second on the force, but he threw it away. He threw it into right field. Did you see that play he tried to make? That was unbelievable. He's
great,
so talented.
Great stop. Great stop. I maybe just trying to do a little too much. I think he was rushing it, obviously. Yeah, he just missed him.
So now you may be right. Now you got two on, second and third, nobody out. Can you imagine if they blow this lead? Can you even imagine it?
With the way that I've seen these bullpens in the last 3 days on all these teams, I could absolutely see it.
It's Harrison Darth Bader batting with eight runners on in scoring position for the Cardinals. This is unbelievable. I mean, it really is. It's turning into an unbelievable game, isn't it? Because out of nowhere, they get the Tatis and Machado home runs back to back, and then he comes up again and hits another one. This first one a three-run homer, the second one a two-run homer. It really is unbelievable. So I'm watching here the Broncos trying to get a field goal, and they got it. So what are they now, 27-16? 27-16 in the rain at MetLife. I just want to look at that home run again on the play-by-play going back Tatis. Oh, yeah, when Nola was on base. So it was a two-run homer. I was right. Meyer's home run was a solo shot. That gave him the lead, the go-ahead homer from Will Myers. And then in the same inning, off the Explorer Ponce de Leon, Tatis hits his second home run because he's already hit a three-run shot with Nola and Cronenworth on. And Machado's was a solo shot that tied it up. So Tatis made it 6-5, Machado made it 6-6, Myers made it 7-6, and then 9-6 on the Tatis two-run shot that are porch and right. And now, it's the start of the fourth quarter, by the way, in the rain at MetLife. The Broncos are up 11. And then still, nobody out, second and third. Bader's up, 1-2 the count. So we got our eyes on if the Cardinals come back and tie this game or not. All right, for all on the bench. So they have made it 9-8 now all of a sudden by getting a couple of sack flies. Wong a sack fly. Fowler scored. Bader a sack fly. Carpenter scored. That was the first run, made it 9-7. Then the Wong sack fly got Fowler home. It's 9-8. Two outs, nobody on now, though. They're still down a run, and their Padres are four outs away from closing this deal, if they can close the deal, because the Cardinals didn't mess around. They were down three runs in this inning, and they got two back. It's 9-8 now, and it is just crazy. This has been a crazy game. 17 runs. Are you kidding me? And then still no score. Bottom three, Brewers and Dodgers. So when this one ends, I'll, you know, float over to that other game and get more interested in that. This game's too good to leave. And then the NFL games, 27-16 with, oh, the Jets got a field goal. So it's an 8-point game, right? So they can score and go for two and tie it. You know that'll happen too, right? You know, with 11:44 left, that game's been so crazy that Padres close the door in the eighth. They'll go to the ninth. They'll bat in the bottom of the eighth, and then the Cardinals will have three more outs to try to tie it. But don't you feel like the way that game's gone back and forth and the scoring and the field goals and just the constant red zone activity that you've seen in the Bronco-Jet game that Darnold will take him down there and score and tie it?
Yeah, this is the big drive coming up because the Broncos are getting the rock back up eight. We'll see if they are going to attack or if they're going to try to chew some clock. If they get a three and out, the Jets are going to get the ball back, but there's a lifetime left in this game here in the fourth quarter. So anything up for grabs in this Thursday night game.
Where did that kid, Brett Rippon, play college ball?
Boise State.
Oh, really? Is that where he played? I didn't remember. He's done a pretty good job tonight for Denver.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.